Hey everybody, this is Sophie and welcome to episode 456 of the Big Boo Cast. On this episode, Melanie and I are going to talk about our unexpected time together this past week in Nashville. We're going to talk about the first time that I played Mahjong, and I'm going to repeatedly, as in over and over again, get the title of a book wrong as we catch up on what I've been reading. Just know, the book I'm talking about is called The Ferryman, not The Journeyman. Alas, I say The Journeyman about 42 times. We would love for you to join us on Patreon if you haven't done that yet. It's at patreon.com/bigboo. Our most recent episode is all about Any Given Saturday, the Netflix show about SEC football. We so enjoyed it. We had a lot of thoughts and we had some spicy takes as well. We would also love it if you would stop by our Amazon shop to see some of the things that we love and love to use. That's at amazon.com/shop/bigboo. And finally, on October 23rd, we'll be in San Antonio, Texas at the Aztec Theater, and we hope you will be too. There's a link for tickets in the show notes, and it will be so much fun if you are there with us. All right, hope y'all enjoy episode 456. Hey, everybody, this is Sophie. This is Bee Mama.
Hey, it's Melanie. It's Big Mama.
Well, what's happening? What's going on? What's the latest?
Listen, as you know, we got to see each other. We were in Nashville last week. So Caroline and I went to Nashville because she had to do some podcast stuff for her book. And I'm going to tell you that we basically left there with, like, Nashville is like a fairy tale land, is what I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
It was magical. Like, and here's the thing. It helped that we were staying. So when I knew we were going to go on this trip, I had texted you and I said, where would you stay in Nashville? And then you had said that your sister, who lived in Nashville for years, and to me is like a pro at Nashville, she had recommended the Hermitage.
Yes.
And so I was able to book us rooms there, which is this old, historical, gorgeous hotel.
Gorgeous.
I mean,
stunning,
beautiful, stunning.
Uh-huh.
And so Caroline and I got there. We flew in on Tuesday. We got to the hotel. We rented a car, got to the hotel. We walk in and I'm like, and it's beautiful. The lobby is gorgeous. Everything is perfectly appointed. But then we went up to our room, which was kind of more of a suite, but it's like the full thing. Like, I'm going to tell you, this is the kind of hotel where they also offer like a bath concierge. You know what I mean? I'm going to say it's different from a Hyatt Place.
Yes. It's a different vibe than the Hampton Inn. It is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Caroline was like, where are we and what is happening? And I was like, I know. Like, it just was so dreamy.
It's dreamy. And it's the rooms for the hotel to be so historical. And it's old. It's been there for a minute. But the rooms are so modern and understated and gorgeous. Yes. And it feels like, because Nashville can be so, I don't know, lively in spots and even loud. Yeah. And this is not that at all. This is an oasis. This is a tranquil landing pad.
It is.
For whatever you have going on in Nashville.
Yeah.
And it's a good one.
It was a good one. And it feels like you've been transported to a different time. Like, because I just feel like post-COVID, like a lot of hotels, like the service can kind of be hit or miss. You know, like you don't always know that a valet person is going to show up when you pull up. You don't always know that a bellman's going to be there. And this was like every time we came down, I felt like by the time we left, we had made friends with people. Mm-hmm. So the first night we got there, we met our friends Sissy Goff and David Thomas, who do Raising Girls and Boys. We met them for dinner at the restaurant, which is downstairs in the Hermitage, and it's called Druzy and Dar. I'm going to tell you, one of the best meals of my life. Like, it. So the chef is the same chef that does, I can't remember his name, but he also does ABC Kitchen in New York. And so just the waiter telling us, going down this menu and telling us all the different specials and why they have them and how they, you know, decide and how he curates different meals. And it was just, I had this rigatoni that was to die for. Like, you know how you taste something and you're like, well, this is homemade.
Yes.
This is, I mean, it was so delicious. We had such a great meal with them. You know, they are the two, maybe the two kindest people on the entire planet Earth.
Definitely the most encouraging people on the planet.
The amount of times that they just sincerely told Caroline, like, we are so proud of you. Like, we are so proud of you. They were just, they affirm everything. They affirm the choices of what you order for dinner. They affirm, you know, what you're doing. And so then at the end of dinner, Sissy was like, oh, y'all have to see the bathrooms. The bathrooms here are legendary, which isn't a statement you normally hear in a normal restaurant.
Certainly.
You know? Like, you have to go see the bathroom. But apparently these bathrooms are historic. So then Sweet David goes into the men's room and makes sure it's cleared out for us so we can see the men's room, because apparently it's like the biggest one. But it's this incredible, like, black and green tile. And it's, listen, this is a random thing, but it had these like green porcelain urinals. And then the women's bathroom is all this. It reminded me of my meemaw's bathroom, because it was all this like gorgeous, like pink 1950s, like art deco marble with like a Hollywood lighting situation. So anyway, it just, that was fantastic. And then the next day we did some different podcasts and that was great. And then on Thursday, because it was my birthday, you decided to drive down, which we were thrilled about.
Yes. Well, one, I hadn't seen you in a minute. Two, there was some stuff I feel like there's stuff that we've needed to talk about that it was always kind of like, let's talk about it when we're face to face, Three, I hadn't seen Caroline all summer. And she's getting ready to go back to school. And so it was really, it worked out. It was sort of a perfect little moment in time for me to drive to Nashville, which is my favorite drive from here to Nashville. Although it worked hard to lose its standing when I was driving home, but that's neither here nor there. So, but I just, it all just sort of came together a day or two before I actually went to Nashville. So I got a room for myself at the Hermitage because, you know, I just, Melanie, I live to sacrifice, you know,
yes.
I live to just submit to whatever assignment the Lord has before me. And so anyway, so I got there and we went to dinner with Caroline and with her friend Lindy, which we had a delicious dinner.
Yeah.
Do you know that? Well, you do know, because I told you that place that said it had free parking, it charged us.
It did?
Uh-huh. It did.
Well, okay.
Lindy and I had a conversation about that.
Well, that's unfortunate.
I know. And I don't know really how it knew to charge us, because we didn't see anything to, like, you know, there was no like kiosks. There was no place to scan a QR code. It was just, but it did. It knew my tag from other parking situations.
Wow.
Anyway, it's neither here nor there.
Well, but it feels problematic because they specifically texted us to tell us that parking was free on levels 1 through 3.
I know.
But I smell a conspiracy.
I do too. An old bait and switch situation.
That's right. Sophie and I are both huge fans of Maya Chia. We have loved their skincare products because they've transformed our skin, and now they've brought that same formulation brilliance to hair care. I am always looking for things, especially at this stage of life, that are going to make my hair thicker and shinier and have less shedding, and this is what Maya Chia has done for me. Their products have transformed my hair. One of the biggest benefits I've noticed with their powerful scalp and hair treatment is the improvement in my hair thickness and my density. My hair feels so much fuller, and I'm finally not shedding as much hair. It also volumizes and it doesn't weigh my hair down, which is so important because I have very fine hair, so it gets weighed down if a product is too heavy. This almost acts like a dry shampoo on the days when I don't feel like washing, which are most days. And now you can also get the Maya Chia shampoo and conditioner that is designed to work with the powerful treatment. It's called the Powerful Shampoo and Conditioner. These products are specifically formulated to help with thinning hair as we age. It sets the foundation for thicker, fuller hair by balancing the scalp microbiome. It improves your scalp skin barrier function and pH, and so it strengthens hair with a proprietary blend of active ingredients. So together with the powerful scalp and hair treatment, these products are a complete system for your best hair growth. Maya Chia has brought their skincare smarts to hair care, and we could not be happier. If you haven't had a chance to try these, now is the time. Head over to Maya Chia and check out the powerful shampoo, conditioner, and scalp and hair treatment. And if you go to MayaChia.com and type the code BIGBOO at checkout, you'll save 15%.
But we did have a lovely dinner, and we had a lovely evening. And then the next morning, we went to Lady Bird for a little bit of a brunchy meal.
Always a winner.
Always a winner. And then we got to see our friends Kelly and April after that. And that was a delight and a joy, and another exercise in being with people who will absolutely affirm and encourage until you are blue in the face.
And then we
set out for home. So we saw each other for about 24 hours. And then that was that.
But listen, it was so good. And I felt like the whole time in Nashville, Caroline and I talked about it. It was such a fun, because with the different people that we saw and the friends that we were with, is it's this whole thing of, to quote Taylor Swift, there's always been an invisible string. You know what I'm saying? Like that ties all these people together, and like to see it all kind of come together in different relationships and different things, and people who were willing to support Caroline with her book. And then Lindy is now part of our friend Kelly's life, and just in a really cool way that like totally happened without any orchestration. I don't know. Yes. It was just a really sweet week. And so I came home with my heart full. But Caroline and I did say, by the time we pulled out of the 12 South area, she was like, and this is why I could not live in Nashville.
Oh, no joke.
Like, I mean, what a great place to visit. But man, that's a lot of people.
You think about when we first went to Kelly's house, and this was probably back in like 2009. It was a while ago. She had not had that house for very long.
No.
And it was like a lazy little neighborhood, 12 South was.
With like two restaurants. I mean, I remember it was like, do you want to go to Burger Up or do you want to go to wherever? And that was
Frothy Monkey.
Yeah.
And now, my goodness, it's a city within a city over there. It certainly is. But it was so good to see everybody and really fun to get to be with y'all and to get to hang out with Caroline and Lindy. And it was great. I was not there long, but I also drove home through approximately two monsoons, you know, kind of rain where people put their hazards on. Then some terrible traffic. It took me probably like 4.5 hours to get home.
Oh, you're kidding me.
It's not quite a 3-hour drive.
I'm so sorry.
Well, no, it was fun. I had podcasts, and I don't ever mind being in the car. I really don't. Like, I'm always so happy to drive somewhere. But it took a minute. And so when I got home, David and Alex had gone ahead. They had moved Alex into the house where he's living this year. They had taken, like, set up his bed and some other stuff over there. And so they met my sister and my brother-in-law for supper. And then I don't even know what I did for supper that night, but I just came onto the house, and then they got home not long after I did. So,
okay. All right.
It was all good.
It all worked out. Listen, I'm going to tell you that we flew home because here's one of the beautiful things about Nashville is that you can get a direct flight from San Antonio, and you really can't get a direct flight from anywhere in San Antonio unless it's to Houston or Dallas or Mexico City. That's about it. So the fact that you can get to Nashville, but we got on our flight, and what I had downloaded was the New Heights podcast with Taylor Swift.
Listen, did you make a graph? Did you open a spreadsheet the videos I have seen on people just dissecting what was on the bookshelves behind them?
Yes, I did not do that because I just listened to it. So I just, I didn't even care. Like, I listened to it, but I mean, it was 2 hours. Like, I literally started it when I sat down in my seat on the plane, and it finished as we landed in San Antonio. So it was the perfect thing. But the amount of times that I have probably referenced that podcast over the last 48 hours, there was something just so endearing about it. Like, Caroline and I had this whole discussion of how can you not respect what Taylor Swift does? Like, she's a marketing genius. She is a PR genius. She knows how to make a statement. It was just so good. And here's what I love. Is she and Travis just, they seem to be, listen, and I, this is what I'm going to say. Am I sad that she didn't choose our podcast to announce her new album? I am.
Well, I was shocked for one.
I really was. It mm-hmm. felt like a little bit of a slight, but I'm willing to forgive her that because I get there's a relationship dynamic there where she felt obligated to do it on New Heights. Mm-hmm. But I just thought the way that she and Travis seem to know each other and love each other and the way he supports her and is so proud of her, like he just thinks she is the best thing since, I don't know, whatever his latest video game obsession is. Like he enamored of who she is.
It's a big green flag for me. It's a big green flag. Mm-hmm. And I was having a discussion, I guess, on Wednesday night with some friends who have maybe been skeptical. I have contended the whole time that it's 100% real. Like, you know, and some people have said, I don't know. I think it's a PR thing or whatever. And I mean, I get why you could land in all kinds of different places about it. But to me, it's the real deal. So just their dynamic, the way that he looks at her, the way that she talks about him, all of it to me, it's very genuine, in my opinion.
I thought it was, listen, the whole thing about her that she bakes sourdough, she's trying to perfect her Pop-Tarts because Jason's girls love her Pop-Tarts and those are so good.
Now, have you seen all the theories, though, about sourdough?
No.
Oh, Melanie, there's an entire subculture around her talking about sourdough as much as she did.
Oh.
Because the Super Bowl is in San Francisco next year.
Oh, yes, I did. Yes.
And so people are convinced that she's going to be the halftime show at the Super Bowl because, and that's really, I mean, like there's a tiny little volume, a tiny little book on the bookshelf over on the left-hand side that's Slim Aaron's photography. And the cover of the new album is like an echo of an old Slim Aaron's photograph. Like I'm telling you, the way people have used the Zoom feature on their phones and laptops over the last week, I respect it. I think go ahead. Listen, we are a nation in need of nuance, and I appreciate symbolism in all its forms. So by all means, like chase it. Let's see if we can figure something out, y'all.
Yeah,
knock yourselves out with it.
It is no secret how much I love my AG1. I feel like I tell somebody about it at least once a week because it has been such a game changer for me. It makes me feel better. It sets the tone for my day. It gives me more energy. I genuinely look forward to it because I know how much better it makes my immune system function and my digestive system function. I cannot say enough about AG1. And now I'm so excited because AG1 has three new flavors. They have citrus, they have berry, and they have tropical. Here's the thing. This is a game changer for me because the berry is delicious. So listen, it's not magic dust, it's not a silver bullet, but AG1 provides you a great foundation for the day. So many of y'all have asked about the taste and now you have some different options. So I would encourage you to give the new AG1 flavors a try today. Plus, if you head to drinkag1.com/bigboo, you'll also get a free welcome kit worth $76 when you subscribe, including 5 AG1 travel packs, a shaker, a canister, and a scoop. That's drinkag1.com/bigboo to get started and give the new flavors a try. Listen, I love it. And what I loved on the podcast is she basically confirmed, like, yes, I mean, which we've known, but she's like, yes, I basically plant all these Easter eggs and I do it because the fans love it and embrace it and they figure stuff out. And so here you go. So, you know, I'm excited. I'm excited about the new album. I feel like October 3rd can't get here soon enough. I told Caroline, I said, you just need to know that if she announces a tour, we're going to do whatever we have to do to go.
I feel certain she will announce a tour. Mm-hmm. I think she probably already knows where that tour is going to go. If I had to guess, I think that's probably handled. So,
yeah. So anyway, that was a delight. It was highly recommend. It was a great listen. It made the time pass by so fast, but I have just been so enamored of them and the way they came across and how endearing she seems to be. I love knowing that Jason Kelce apparently told his girls that if a cat bites you, it's poisonous because he was trying to keep his home cat free. Just a lot of really good things.
There was something I saw. I can't remember where, because, you know, social media, I consume a good bit of it.
Yeah.
But there was something that I saw that was essentially like more people like Jason and Travis Kelce, please. You know, like more of that, more just like more men who just love their people. And yes. I don't know.
It's endearing. Way, I'm going to say that the way Jason introduced her, I'm like, this is the ultimate hype man. Like, mm-hmm. you know, just, he just was so excited and so proud in the way they, and I just love that because I think that she has a lot, she's had a lot of men in her life that have maybe not appreciated who she was or wanted her to be smaller than what she is. And so to see these two big goofy guys just fully embrace her.
Yes.
And yes. and celebrate her just made me really happy. So there I agree. You have it. Yeah.
I agree. Well, now I did something that I have not done the night before I went to Nashville, and that is Mahjong. I played Mahjong, Melanie, and I use the word played. I use it. Mm-hmm. I use it in quotation marks because the first round was essentially I was sort of being tutored in the first round. There was another person in our group who had not played. And so we kind of tiptoed our way through a round. Now, I had watched some YouTube videos. So, and I was proud of myself for doing that because the terminology was not foreign to me, at least. Like I had a working vocabulary when I sat down. But the table of people behind us who were playing, who have played a good bit, all people you know.
Yes.
It was a rowdy event, a rowdy exchange. There was trash talking, which I always appreciate in any context. So then after I sort of went through my tutorial round, we decided to play a round where we played in pairs. And so I was paired with our friend Aaron, and I don't know still exactly what we did. I mean, I know what we were trying to do in terms of what the objective of the game was, but we got so tickled. I mean, just like so, like that kind of laughing where you cannot breathe because we operated with such confidence until we just stared our failure like right in the face.
Feels right.
And then we would laugh so hard. Erin is, she's confident. And, and I am, you know, I'm passive aggressive competitive. You would think I'm breezy about it, but I'm not. I want to win.
Yeah.
And so the combination of our two personalities in that setting was fairly, I don't know, catastrophic. Maybe it was not great. It was not ideal, but we had the best time playing. And like I got I left. It was after 10. It was almost 10:30 when I left.
That is so late for you.
It's so late for me. And I mean, it took me a while to wind down, but we had a ball. I so enjoyed it. It was so fun. It was just, I don't know. It was just like a little window of time where nothing existed except for that game and the people in that room. And I enjoyed it. So.
Well, my takeaway from the one time I played Mahjong is you don't have time for anything else to exist because
That's
your
right.
brain is so consumed.
It is.
With trying to figure out what kind of situation you need to possibly win this game that really, frankly, feels like you make it up as you go along. I said it's like Joey Tribbiani and Bamboozled.
You did tell me that. I feel like I've recruited people, but more than anything, I am trying to recruit David and one other couple. We used to love to play canasta and we used to play spades all the time, but we just haven't in the last few years. But as you know, I've talked about how I feel like we need a hobby. Like we need to play pickleball. We need something. I've decided Mahjong is going to be a hobby if I can get him to, because I think if I can get him to play once, he will love the strategy of it.
Yes.
But I'm going to have another couple because he's not going to be interested in playing with like me and two of my friends.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's going to have to be like a couple thing. So I'm going to join the chorus of Mahjong evangelist and try to pull some people in to hopefully find a way that we can learn together. I think it would be a fun thing to learn together. So
I think that's a great idea. I feel like Perry and I would end in tears and screaming if we tried to do that.
Well, the difference is David's patient and I'm not.
Yeah. Summer is almost over, but it is still so hot outside. So I am in a minimal makeup season. I just like a simple, clean look. And I love Thrive Cosmetics because it makes it so easy to create that with minimal effort and maximum impact. Every product from Thrive Cosmetics is 100% vegan and cruelty-free, made with clean, skin-loving ingredients that work with your skin, not against it. I also love that they give back. For every product purchase, Thrive Cosmetics donates products and funds to help communities thrive. My personal favorite, y'all have heard me talk about it, is the Brilliant Eye Brightener. This is a waterproof eyeshadow highlighter stick. It's made to brighten or open your eyes. It gives you this radiant look for the beach or the pool or wherever you are out in the heat, and it lasts all day. I like to apply it to the inner corner of my eyes. It makes me look rested, and it's a foolproof formula. It's so easy to apply, and they've got over 34 shades, so you can go as simple or as dramatic as you want. Maximize your look with minimal effort. Go to thrivecosmetics.com/bigboo for an exclusive offer of 20% off your first order. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/bigboo.
So I'm not saying it couldn't end in a fiery train wreck. I just, my hope would be that it would be something we might enjoy. And I also, like, I'm gonna host next month for like all the girls to come and play.
Yeah.
So I'm going to continue in my learning there for sure. But I would like to see maybe if I could, maybe if nothing else, we'll just play spades. Maybe, you know, if Mahjong's a flop, we'll play spades. But anyway, we did see in the bulletin at church yesterday that there's a group that plays at our church because David was like, hey, you could go.
Yeah.
And, you know, I could, but I can't play Mahjong as like a part-time job. So I have to limit it a little bit. But it was fun. We had a great time.
Okay, listen, I'm so glad that y'all had a great time. I think that's a great thing to do. I think it's a great way to keep your brain sharp, you know?
Yes.
And be social, and it lends itself to really good snacks and stuff.
It does. Well, I actually cook supper for the, I don't know what Hazel's upset about. I think she just awoke with a start. But I cook supper for this past week's time together. And one of the things that I made, and I took all the food to Jamie's house, but one of the things that I made was that Lilo salad. I forget how delicious it is.
It's so good. It is so good.
And I don't know if I've told you this, but what I've started doing when I make it is right before I toss the salad, I put probably 2 giant handfuls of roasted salted pistachio nuts in there.
Oh, what a genius addition.
So you get a little crunch, but because that avocado and that green onion and all that sits in that mustardy vinaigrette all day, and it kind of breaks it down a little bit in all the best ways, it truly, I mean, it's, that salad is a wonder in terms of something you can make ahead, put it in the refrigerator, forget about it, then pull it out right when you get ready to eat and then toss it up. But it was the hit of the night. It really was.
It's so good. And the fact that, like, because then by the time you get it out, that it's all so chilled. Like, everything about it is
cold.
So cold and crisp. And we need to put the link for that recipe because a couple of people, you mentioned it last week, and I've had a couple of people message to want to know about the Lilo salad.
Okay. I'll put it in the show notes. It's delicious. And then I also did some fresh fruits with my mama's poppy seed dressing, which I know that's 2 salads, but I don't care because it was hot. And I love fresh fruit and if it's got some poppy seed dressing, all the better. And I could have pretty much eaten that just by itself, nothing else. Like, it was just, it was so good.
Sounds so good. Listen, that sounds delicious.
It was fun.
Okay.
The other thing I wanted to mention to you, and this has just come to my attention really in the last week, because, you know, we're on the backside of maybe what, our 4th year of Rush Talk? Would that be accurate?
Yes.
I think it's our 3rd or 4th year of Rush Talk. And I didn't pay much attention to Rush Talk this year because it's turned into a thing where it's not necessarily the people who are going through Rush. It's much more an exercise for the sororities to get out in front of their houses and dance. I appreciate their efforts. I'm just not super into it.
Yeah,
but there were still some people who appeared on my TikTok who were going through recruitment. I don't even know where they were. But what I picked up on was every time, you know how they like to tell you what they're wearing?
So, oh, yeah.
You know,
oh, I'm aware.
Kendra Scott, you know, all the David Yerman. But there's something that's happened when people are talking about their E. Newton jewelry.
Yes.
where they drop the tea. And, you know, this is a pet peeve of mine from way back when mm-hmm. people, instead of saying it's important, they say it's important.
Yes.
And I don't know what happened to that tea. Where'd it go? And I say that with great humility as somebody who has really never met the ending of a word that I felt like I had to include. Mm-hmm. You know, like mm-hmm. I'm not an ing person. I understand. But just to abandon a consonant there in the middle of the word is an unusual choice, for my opinion. The number of girls who are like, e-newton, e-newton, e-newton. And I'm like, uh-huh. where's the T?
Yeah.
It's e-newton. Mm-hmm. A new on. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. No, that's so funny that you said that, because I follow some Instagram account that kind of compiles all the best of the Rush Talk videos.
Okay. Okay.
And so the amount of times that I heard E Newton, or however, new on, however they say it. And then
on.
And mm-hmm. then they're like, Amazon. And then one girl like pointed to like a big diamond ring on her hand and she was like, antique. And I was like, do you call it an antique?
I saw some my nanas. Yes.
Uh-huh. And the amount of different ways that you can pronounce sheen, whatever. But listen, we are mixing some high end and some low end. But the thing that stands is the E. Newton bracelets, because uh-huh. both wrists, the E. Newton. I was like, E. Newton, good for you. I hope she has bought herself a lovely second home somewhere, because just the Rush situation alone, I feel like has built her an empire.
Yeah. E. Newton. There was one guy who did a video where he was like, what's happened to the pants store? Like, what? Nobody's talking about the pants store. And it's true. I didn't hear any pants store this year.
But I did a couple of pants store, but okay. not nearly what it's been in the past, though.
Well, I think a lot of the girls who go through at Alabama now don't video anything, which is going to be where the majority of your pants store people are at Alabama or Auburn. And so anyway, but my goodness, it's alas, it has come and gone again, the Rush Talk. But I could not let the absence of the T in E. Newton stand. No, so.
It's a situation for sure. It's mm-hmm. it's a situation. And I'm going to say, like, Kendra Scott, way to go, because she's another one that keeps hanging on. You know what I mean? Like the Kendra Scott, the earrings, the bracelets, the whole thing. So I still love the Rush videos. I like seeing the ones that when they do all their dances, because I feel like there are some people where I'm like, I really feel like y'all phoned this in.
Yeah, you got volunteered for this and you didn't want to do it.
A lack mm-hmm. of effort. And then some, and I'm also going to say, based on what I saw, University of Arkansas, the balloon sculptures alone.
We see you, Tri-Delta, at the University of Arkansas. Listen, the balloons on that house for bid mm-hmm. day.
Yeah, I mean, it was incredible. Like, incredible. So, kudos to you, because I can't even imagine how you begin to put all those balloons. And really, the real winner here is whatever company they hire to do those balloon sculptures.
Well,
but my goodness, they were impressive.
Yeah. You talk about some calluses. You know what I mean?
God.
I don't even know how you make those things, but it was impressive.
It was impressive. It was impressive. Caroline is headed back to school this week, and I think, honestly, one of the things she's excited about is getting back to her Helix mattress. That's what we bought for her at school, and she has told us so many times how much she loves that mattress. The Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including their award-winning Lux collection. They have models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side. They have enhanced cooling features to keep you from overheating at night. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress. You take an online quiz, and they'll match you with the best mattress according to how you sleep and what your sleep issues are. You will sleep so much better on a Helix mattress. If you are in the market for a new mattress, go to helixsleep.com/bigboo. That's helixsleep.com/bigboo. Right now, you can take advantage of their Labor Day sale. Now through September 8th, you can get 27% off site-wide, exclusive for the listeners of the Big Boo podcast.
For some reason, when I came home from Nashville, I don't know really why, I think I mentioned last week that I was reading a book called Culpability, that I finished and loved. And I have I have a lot of thoughts about it. I won't get into all those thoughts, but I just thought it was so interesting. And I've continued to think about the characters and I've continued to think about the dilemmas within. But then I read a book that I think our friend McCray had mentioned earlier in the summer. And it was like some kind of family saga in New England kind of deal.
Oh, I love a family saga.
This was a moderately spicy book. And you know, my reaction to a moderately spicy book is like, yeah, we get it. You know?
Yeah. Move on,
but
please.
It's not necessarily my thing. And then I read another book that Jamie greenlit on the podcast this past week that was also moderately spicy, but I thought the dynamic between the two main characters was a darling. If I say the title, some of y'all are going to come back and you're going to say, I can't believe you recommended that. Yeah. And so I'm just go listen to the podcast and listen to what Jamie said. And it was also moderately spicy, but that's not the appeal, but the dynamic between the two main characters was darling in this one. And so, and I honestly can't remember the name of it right now, but I'll put both of them in the show notes. How about that as a compromise with the notation that they're both moderately spicy.
There you go. Proceed at your own risk.
Yes. Proceed at your own risk. I don't know what your personal boundaries are. For me, and I'll just, you know, there's no harm in sharing this, I don't think. I can read a moderately spicy book, and it's essentially like reading instructions, like to assemble a bookshelf. I mean, I'm on the other side of menopause at this point. You know, So there was that. But then, so I read those two books, and then I started a book that several listeners had recommended a couple of years ago, and I bought it, but I never read it. And for some reason, I looked at it yesterday when we got home from church and I thought, I think this is what I'm going to read next. And I really didn't have any idea what it was about. The book is called The Journeyman. It's by Justin Cronin. It was a big, I don't know. I think a lot of people read it a couple of years ago because I remember a lot of people recommending it to me. I'm still not exactly sure what it is, but it's out of my normal wheelhouse because it's like a utopia that turns out to be dystopian. And anyway, but it's, you know, modern day characters, but I am so intrigued by it. And so, I mean, like when we finish recording, I'm going to be right back in it because I got to figure out what's going on with this thing. Mm-hmm. And so I have really enjoyed it. And so I guess I've been mindful that I have read some things over the course of the last month or so that are not my normal kinds of books. Project Hail Mary is one of them. Culpability is one of them. And now The Journeyman. All three of those really outside my wheelhouse, but there's some overlap in there that I really want to figure out because I have thought, ooh, if I taught these three things together in a class, I think we have some themes. There's a Venn diagram there, right? Like,
yeah.
I think we have some common themes between the three, even though they're all different. And so it's been so fun to kind of try to think through that. And I haven't like arrived at my conclusions yet, but I even went through at one point yesterday afternoon as I was reading The Journeyman, I stopped and I went back and I read like the last 10 pages of Culpability because there was certain stuff that kept coming to mind. And I don't know. And so it's made me think a lot about Project Hail Mary. So I just basically all that to say, I have really been in like high gear as a nerd the last 4 or 5 days.
I respect it. I think that's great. You'll be glad to know I'm still reading Queen of Shadows is what I am doing.
It may be time to call it.
But it took a turn last night where it kind of captured my interest. I read it on the plane on the way to Nashville. And then, of course, on the way home, I had to listen to Taylor and Travis.
Well,
so I didn't.
Priorities.
I didn't. And then last night, I picked it up again. And it did take a turn where a character reentered that I was like, oh, now I am kind of interested in this. But I'm going to tell you that I keep reading it on my Kindle. Here's the problem with the Kindle reading for me is that I know that I'm still just 38% through this book.
You can turn that off, I think.
I know, but it's almost like I kind of want to know, you know?
Oh,
like,
yeah. I love knowing my percentage. I do.
Like, where am I to the end of this? So anyway, I've got to power through because currently in my Goodreads goal, I'm leveled up where I'm right on track to reach my end of the year goal. So I've got to get this one finished so I can start something else. But anyway,
do you know what your goal was? Do you know how many books you wanted to read?
I think 25. I think I did 25 for the year. If I remember, somewhere in that range.
I need to go back and look. And I don't do that on Goodreads. I just do that on my Kindle, on my front page of the Kindle app, or somewhere in there. But I am curious. I haven't calculated or haven't asked it to calculate what I've read so far.
I bet you've read one gazillion books this year. It feels like you've read a lot.
I had a lull though at the beginning of the summer. You know, it's contagious. It's like home run hits. Mm-hmm. You know how home run, like the hits are contagious in a baseball game. Mm-hmm. I don't say that as a player. I say that as a spectator, but books are contagious. You know, like you have to I have to keep momentum going or I'll just fall into a pit of like a C-level Bravo show and just give it my all, you know? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I feel better when I read a lot. I feel better when I'm involved in something that makes my mind stretch a little bit, even if it's rom-com-y and kind of light and fun.
Yeah.
But it's just keeping the momentum going with reading for me is a deal.
Yeah, because I get distracted by other things. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like I get distracted by a good show. And I feel like this summer there have been so many good shows. We've talked about so many of them.
Yes.
So there's been so much to watch. Now, I'm going to tell you that what I fell into last night, you know how I love Taryn Delaney, who is on Instagram. Well, she now does, so through her Unlikely Country Woman, she's now done two YouTube, like longer versions that are just about 15 minutes.
Oh.
But it's a new series of her kind of walking through the house and her brother's following her with the camera and they're talking about different things of the house. And so I watched both of those last night and they were a delight. Like I was like, I think she's so darling and so funny. And so anyway, that I found that. And I'm real intrigued by this house situation. So, because I'm like, just to go buy a 300-year-old farmhouse that's on 3 acres and she's a city girl and the things that she's having to figure out. And one of the things she said last night, which I laughed, she said, I'm going to be very honest and transparent with y'all about the money because nobody told me. Like, nobody told me how much this was going to cost. Like, when your septic system is fried and when you have lead paint and you have bats in the attic and all of those things.
Oh, that's terrible.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I'm going to say, as somebody who lives in an old house that's not even that old, just 100 years old, I'm going to say I'm aware. I'm aware of all the things that it's very charming. But listen, stuff goes wrong is what I'm going to say. And and I don't know why, like a lot of rodents and stuff seem to really enjoy an old house. But they do.
They do.
So we have a little mouse currently that's living on our back porch that runs when I let the dogs out at night, it runs from under our one of our little couches out there under our cabinet where our little outdoor kitchen is. Like it scurries and like it's gotten to the point the dogs don't even, they're just like, yeah, that's, you know, it's like another friend. They're just
her
like,
again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there she is. So
do you think, Melanie, have you looked under your sofa?
I haven't and I don't want to. I don't want to. Perry keeps saying we're going to set some traps and do some stuff. I don't really want to know what's happening out there. Mm-hmm. It's more than I can really take right now.
Yeah. That just as someone who has witnessed a situation where a mouse made a bit of a nest in the under parts of a cushion,
Yeah, I know. Well, and then I got home from Nashville and one of my couch, like a throw pillow on the outdoor couch, was completely like torn up. And I told Perry, I go, what's going on? He said, oh, there's a squirrel that started doing that. And he said, I saw him. So I'm like, why?
Yeah.
We've had that furniture out there for 15 years. Like, why did the squirrels all of a sudden decide to get aggressive? Like, what's going on? What's happening?
I don't know. I mean, maybe just bored. Maybe the squirrel was bored.
I guess. I don't know. But I think it's because the dogs spend so much time inside now that like all the creatures feel free to run amok because the dogs aren't out there.
Right. The patrol has left the premises.
That's exactly right. So anyway, so is it time for five favorites?
time for five favorites, and none of this belongs together, so just stay with me.
Okay.
The first thing is a comforter that I ordered for Alex, because, you know, our policy has been, and if this has not been your policy or anyone's policy, no judgment for me. Our mm-hmm. policy has been, at the end of every year of college, we're just going to throw all the bed things out. We're just, yeah. listen, I'm not right. holding on to that. I'm not laundering that. It's mm-hmm. not made a big investment in that. So for this year's comforter, I ordered this Bear Home comforter set from Amazon, because I was yeah. not looking to spend a lot of money, but I was looking for something that was soft and that would be comfortable. And this is a delight. It's kind of it's kind of cool on the outside, which I mm-hmm. love that whole thing. It reminds me of my childhood when there were a lot of sateen comforters on the, the sateen comforters?
Oh yeah.
They were so cold. And it's a down alternative. So it's not loaded up with feathers. It's just like a box stitch, really plain. Mm-hmm. It comes in a lot of different colors and it's very affordable. So I just thought I would pass that along. It would be great in a guest room, great at the foot of a bed if you want an extra layer of cover, you know, on the day far away when it gets cooler.
Yes.
But it was a good call. It just comes with the comforter and a couple of shams. And I'll have to explain again that the shams are not pillows you sleep on.
Yes.
But, you know, that's a fool's errand, really. Mm-hmm. The second thing, I'm curious what you think about this second thing. I ordered this last week, and when it came in, I had so many feelings about it. It's from Anthropology. It's the Hardware Side Slit Midi Skirt. When I first saw it on the Anthropology website, I thought, is this denim? Like, what's the fabric mm-hmm. situation?
Mm-hmm.
So it comes in, and I kind of expect for it to be denim and to be heavy, but it's cotton. It's a ribbed cotton. Oh. I actually looked at the tag so I could know what the fabric situation was. It's 98% cotton, 2% spandex.
Okay.
I put it on, and I had like a sensory memory to when I was in college. This is the kind of thing I would have worn in college for sure.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Here's what I like about it. I do think it probably runs a little big in the waist because I'm an apple-shaped person. And so a lot of times anything with a banded waist can feel uncomfortable or kind of tight on me. Mm-hmm. And this one's not. I'm any kind of like pull-on skirt pants situation, I almost always wear an extra large. And this is not like it's not like a Mrs. Swiggins skirt. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like it doesn't cup under your behind or anything. Like it mm-hmm. just pulls up and it's straight. What I like about it is if you like to tuck in a shirt, you get the cute detail of the hardware on the waistband.
Yeah.
That's not going to be my journey, uh-huh. but I still have the hardware on the little slit and it has a little curve and you can adjust how much you want. It's just snaps. And so you can unsnap as much as you want, or you can snap it all the way to the bottom if you want. But it's so cute, and but it's really soft and comfortable and a great transition piece, because I would wear it now with just like a white shirt. I can wear it in the fall and winter with boots and a sweater. Like mm-hmm. it's a great little piece. And I was so tickled with it when it came in.
Now, would you wear it with a white like button down? Is that what you're talking about right now?
I would wear it with a white button down. You would probably half tuck the button down. I would make sure my button down was not too long so it didn't look like I was, you know, wearing a smock with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a couple of white shirts that aren't super, super long. So mm-hmm. I would probably do something like that with it. But you could also wear a t-shirt with it. You could wear a denim shirt with it.
That's true.
Like you could go a lot of different directions with it. I think it would be really cute in the fall with boots and some sort of denim situation. Not to get Caroline riled up, but a lot of people who are our age-ish might like it with like a white t-shirt and a denim jacket. That sort of vibe.
This is good. You'll appreciate that when we were packing Caroline up yesterday, because she's about to head back. And so she had brought home a ton of clothes because we knew she mm-hmm. was going on the Europe trip and, you know, just she was going to be home all summer. But when we packed her up, I said, hey, I was like, so we're done buying you clothes. Like we're done. Like this, we're mm-hmm. not going to. And she was like, you always say that. She goes, I'm not the problem. She was like, you are the problem. And I was like, I am the problem. I
am the problem. But I'm going to do better. I'm not going to do this anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I really have vowed and determined that I'm done for a while. So,
okay.
Yeah, I put myself on because I'm like, there's not possibly one event that she could have that she would not have an outfit that she could wear.
I know. I get it. And I'm sorry for all the things that I've sent you the last couple of weeks that I think would be cute on her. You know,
I know. But listen, I love the shopping. I love it.
It's so, fun.
Anyway.
It's good.
Okay. So I love this skirt. I think it's darling.
Yeah, it's really cute. Mm-hmm. And I have a speaking thing this weekend. I think I'm probably going to wear it.
Oh, okay.
The next thing is, this is a hard lift, but we're going to get into salsa. Because the Mateo salsa, I kind of got real tired of it. Just, I don't know. It's got a lot, it feels like it's got a lot of chili powder and cumin in it. Like it just, it's good. Don't get me wrong. But I kind of burned out on it because I was buying like the big, huge things of the medium, just regular Mateo salsa. I did a grocery order a few weeks ago and I noticed they had a different option for Mateo's. It's the Cantina salsa.
Oh.
So I ordered it and it's delicious. I actually Googled yesterday to see what the difference is between the Cantina salsa and the regular salsa.
Mm-hmm.
One of the differences is onion. The Cantina salsa has onion in it. I don't know.
Okay.
But it's just, it's a thinner salsa. So it's so good. I really like it.
I'm adding this to my grocery order right now because I am kind of tired of the other one.
Yeah. I've noticed that when I buy a really fresh salsa and then go to the old school Mateo's, I'm like, oh God, this feels like it's got a lot of spices that aren't necessary in it or something.
Yeah.
But the Cantina, I love the texture of it and I love the flavor of it.
Okay.
So,
this is great information.
Yes. Fourth thing I mentioned when we got back from New York that I thought that when we saw the musical Just in Time, I thought it was magical. I thought Jonathan Groff is magical. Just magic all around with that. And I've gotten a lot of messages from people who have wanted to know more about it. Anyway, the cast recording came out this past Friday and I have listened to this a lot because it's all sort of old school classics like crooner songs, you know, Mac the Knife and Just in Time, obviously. It's so easy to listen to. And it's kind of like you're sitting in your grandparents' house cross-legged while they play albums. It's kind of what it feels like.
I love that. Yeah.
So anyway, so if people are interested, I'm going to link to the page on the Just in Time website because it's has links to all the different music services where you can go and add it to your playlist. But it's so good. It's so fun to listen to and so easy to listen to and be really fun to put on if you're having people over for dinner or something and just want something fun in the background because it's, you know, kind of big bandy and I like it.
Okay.
And then another item of clothing to wrap us up. This is the We the Free Garden Painters pullover.
Mm-hmm.
And I recommended this to Jamie a few weeks ago and she bought it and I walked in her house Wednesday night and she had it on and I was like, oh yeah, I'm ordering that for myself right now.
Oh, okay.
And so I did. I'm wearing it right now. It's so soft. Now, it as per many Free People clothes, it runs really big. Mm-hmm. So right now, the one that I have on, I got the pink and the red, the hot pink and the red.
Oh, that's darling. That's what I would get.
I have a large on, and I would only wear this with leggings because it's long on me. And it's, it's much more like a kind of a tunic vibe. I just threw it on because I was cold this morning. I've ordered another one because it's so soft and feels so versatile. And I ordered a medium in it because I thought I want one I can wear like with jeans. You know?
That's good.
So I thought about you because I thought if I were Melanie, I would get an extra small if you wanted to wear it with jeans.
Okay. All right.
And then I would get a small if you want to wear it, like you want to throw it on with leggings or whatever. Like it's, they make it look like in the pictures, oh, look, you can wear this. And it's just the waistband hits at your waist. It does not. That's lies.
No, they do like to lie on their website.
Yeah. So it's really oversized, but it's so comfortable and I think so cute on. And just that's going to be a staple for me. You know, I'll find a Free People shirt that I love and I'll get it in different colors because I know I can take it with me. Like when I go to Pilates and I can throw it on when I leave, if I have to go somewhere or meet somebody.
Yeah.
And I'll look presentable.
I totally get that. I ordered, this is funny because I actually got on and ordered. So the collection, the store that I love that my friends own here in San Antonio, they've started carrying Free People Movement stuff. And I could tell that my optimism towards fall, because I went on their website and ordered two different Free People sweatshirts.
Okay.
Two nights ago.
Yeah.
Just because I was like, someday I will feel cold again and I would like to have these shirts.
Oh, there she is. Hold please. Okay. Hold on. Anyway, so I just, you know, the Free People stuff, if you see it and you like it, it's good to go ahead and get it.
Yeah.
Because it'll sell.
Yeah.
So this is a great one. And this is one of those things you could dress it up really cute for a girl's night out or a date night or whatever. And you could also dress it down with a pair of leggings and some slides of some sort. Okay. You know, you could wear it a lot of different ways. So it's super soft and comfy. And the like this hot pink and red, the color's super saturated and bold, and I love it.
No, it's so cute. Well, listen, these are great.
Thanks. So go buy a comforter and sit on it and eat some salsa. Those are my instructions for the week.
Yeah, but it's an inexpensive comforter. So if you spill the salsa, you're not going to care.
Who
it's
cares?
Be okay.
Yeah. You're all good.
All right. Well, y'all, thanks for listening, everybody.
Yes. Thanks so much. We'll talk to y'all later.
All right. Bye, everybody.